is good. Forgive. I'm not sure I could.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, second hour coming up here. Short segment, first off, but we're back. And we've got my guest, Tony Grocki, Tom Mercer, and Penny Perkins talking about uncivil liberties. And I wanted to ask Penny and Tony. Now, I know this took almost a four-year period of time to make, so, you know, it was obviously there was intermittent spurts where you weren't doing anything. But as you guys were filming this and when you got into these particular situations and you set yourself up to, you know, and you got into character for this, was there ever a chill that went down your spine with the realization of how close what you were doing is actual to reality?
That happened, actually, Michael, quite frequently. And we, you know, we would actually, you know, sort of joke on the set that, my gosh, we can't keep up with this administration. Like, it's really hard to keep this in the future as fiction, because everything we would talk about, there would be, you know, you'd hear something, you know, in the actual news that was actually happening that was, you know, clearly parallel, if not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Tony, your thought, yeah. Same thing with you?
Yeah, same thing. You know, it was a lot more fictional when we started. It just seemed much more fictional. And part of that, I think, is also since we're dealing with the material, not only was it happening, but we were also getting more in tune to all the different ways it was happening. So it's not just RF chips in the products. You know, it's a lot of different things. It's, you know, a new way to tax gas by tracking all the cars. You remember that one?
Oh yeah,
that was crazy. You know, so I mean, we were also becoming aware, knowledge wise, as to all these dastardly thing, so it became real to us in a lot of different ways. I wanted to pose a question to you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. A lot of the films that deal with this kind of subject matter are documentary films, and
right,
it's a great way to tell the people about this stuff, a documentary film. But I wanted to ask you what your reaction was to getting the point in a story film instead than a documentary that's just hammering you with facts and figures. How did you feel about, you know, a story film giving you the message?
Well, as you all know, when you go to a movie, you kind of get lost in the set. You get lost in the reality of the movie. And, you know, the difference between a movie and a documentary, as you say, Tony, is just kind of hammering you with facts and so forth. But you have a tendency to attach, you know, an emotional response to the characters. In other words, you have a, you know, you start getting, you becoming part of a character or being congenial to a particular character. So that's the difference. The storyline itself was followed pretty well. I mean, I have to commend you, Tom, for the fact that this is your first movie and being around it. And I've gone from one side to the other. I was, you know, fortunate enough to be on the set with the making of Imposter, which was with Vincent D'Onofrio, Madeline Stowe. So I've seen $100 million production. Now, on the flip side of that, I've also been in the situation of a very, very, very low-budget film called Secret Messages, of which I had a part in that movie. The difference there being the editing, the direction, and so forth. So I've seen both sides of the scale, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I continually commend you, because for your first shot at this, with the limited budget that you had and what you did, you put this story together very, very well. Now, I'm not going to say for the sake of discussion that this is another, you know, blockbusting Titanic. It's not. But what I want the listeners to know is that this comes from three people who have awakened, who have taken their talents, they've taken their initiative, they've taken their money, they've taken their dedication and their drive and their efforts, and they've put together something that is a storyline that is so close to reality that it needs viewing. So I hope that answered your question, Tony, or
absolutely,
should I expound further?
Absolutely.
I have a tendency to run off at the mouth sometimes. Okay,
no, listen,
we're
going to your show.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
I'm not ready to make nice.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, American Lincoln, is coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I have to apologize there for some reason, and I want to mention to my engineer, Marcus, I did not hear the music going to the break. So if you would adjust that, please, I'd appreciate it. Okay, let's see. We're back to now. What I want to do, we've got I've got a few more clips here, Tom, that I'd like to play. But in all honesty, as we discussed on the phone this morning, I put these things together, then I rewrote them and I goofed them up. So I think at this point, as opposed to, you know, me telling you what they're about, what I'll do is I'll play it and then I'm going to let you comment on it, Tom. How's that?
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna play the next clip here. And for those new listeners who just joined this hour, I want to mention to you that we're talking about the new DVD that's been put out by Tom Mercer, Tony Grocki, Penny Perkins are two of the one of the actors and another actress in the movie. Penny is the main actress, the main player in the movie. Tony's got a very, very small, minuscule part. No, I'm Tony's got a very good part in the movie. He plays Sam. Tom is the writer, director, and co-producer of the movie, and that's what we're talking about right now, and we're playing some clips on it. So without any further ado, I'm going to play this clip, Tom, and then I'm going to allow you to comment on it because I'm not sure which one it is, okay? So here we go.
Buster, don't listen to him.
QRTS is finished. I hacked it.
Too late. We've already placed the explosives.
I put the source codes all over the internet.
So?
Don't even listen to this traitor. I should have shot him the minute he walked through the door.
I want to hear this.
It'll be easy now to falsify anybody's whereabouts. Government tracking is totally unreliable now.
You have your orders from Central Command? Don't believe him.
Central Command didn't want to take out the URTS this way. We don't have to blow it up. Aren't we fighting the same enemy?
We do this not for the computers, but to strike a blow against the heart of the great Satan.
Just who is the great Satan?
All this, American capitalists, global domination, this spiritually corrupt system.
There's no system. It's just people. Innocent people working in that building who don't deserve to die.
It's written in the Quran, know that paradise is under the shade of swords. Fight those who believe not in Allah and his apostle, nor acknowledge the religion of truth until they pay with willing submission, and feel themselves subdued. And thus shall you do. Had Allah willed, he himself could have punished them. But he has ordained it thus.
I'm sure you can find some Quran verse to justify anything. It's the same thing with the Bible. I was raised in a family that believed in the Bible. I learned all the verses. I was so sure I was right, I was willing to kill for it. And then I woke up. Mike Wilson woke me up just before you blew his brains all over my face, Bill.
One other stuff? And is it not written in Surah 532? Whosoever kills a person, it shall be as if he kills all mankind. And whosoever saves a person, it shall be as if he saves all mankind.
Okay, that was the quote from the Quran. Now, Tom, you want to comment on that one?
Sure. I'm not going to say where this falls in the movie, because that would be kind of a plot spoiler. But
right.
We'll leave it that there is a reason that Norton, Tony Grocchi's character, has to confront a group of Muslim terrorists. And in the course of that confrontation, there's some quotes from the Quran being thrown around. One of the people in the room is justifying violence by quoting the Quran, and the other one is justifying a notion of peace. Whoever saves a person shall be as if he saves all mankind, and showing that there really is two ways to look at and use scriptural verses to justify really any point of view. And Norton is saying, well, yeah, and I'm a Christian, and our Bible's been misquoted and misused as well. So mm-hmm. It really gets to the point of the whole question of is God on our side when we're fighting a war, or is really the question much bigger than that? And
right, and
since this is Tony's scene, maybe we should toss the ball to him.
Okay, Tony, you just got the ball. Go for
it.
Tell us. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's right.
Hello?
I mean, it's a moment like Tom just said. Both religions feel, you know, probably that God is on their side, and probably in every war, especially if the sides are of different religion. I'm sure there's part of that in everything, but I think it points out the hypocrisy of. You know, what Norton's character was talking about, the hypocrisy of, you know, the Bible-thumping life that he had been brought up in, and he looks back and realizes things were always twisted to fit whatever the quote of the day was. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a cynical, I always thought of it as kind of a cynical thing, and at least it gives him some ground to stand on during that scene, you know, to battle, rather than battle quotes for quotes, he just battles quotes with a comment about how quotes can't be counted on.
Right, and it's another good job. How come I keep commending Tom? I'm not sure. But anyway. no, it's just a good job. You know, you did a good job of tying in the dichotomy of the, you know, the fact the compartmentalized government workers who really are innocent, you know, the people in the movement. But then you also tie the religion into it, where it doesn't make any difference whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, it doesn't make any difference. You know, you can point to a passage in the Bible or the Quran or whatever and justify whatever it is you plan to do, and everybody on both sides thinks they're right. So I think, you know, the crux of this is to just, you know, all of us as a race, I mean, I'm talking about a human race, need to just come together, elevate the consciousness, and look at this whole thing for what it really is. Am I off base there, Tom?
No, you really summed it up very well. That is the overarching point that the whole movie makes. Comes at it from several different directions, but that's the conclusion that I would hope that viewers come away with.
Well, and Penny, I'm sorry, did you want to continue, Tom?
No, go ahead, Penny.
Like I said, the scene does a really nice job of showing how problematic it is to use religion to try to justify violence.
Right, yeah. And if people come away with anything from this movie like I did, ultimately it is to cause you to realize that we all need to elevate our consciousness as a race. And this is why it's so important for factions in the movement, like people that listen to RBN or the other networks out there, to awaken these people. Because, you know, the dumbed-down, mind-numbed American public doesn't have a clue what's going on other than what is spoon-fed to them, or drinking the Kool-Aid, if you will, as Penny mentioned, you know, watching mainstream media. And once these people awaken, just like Penny's part, Cynthia works for Homeland Security, and her sister, ironically enough, is a talk show host, like me.
You got it.
Yeah, so you know, it filters out. It weaves its way through society, and we really do not have any idea at this point what percentage of the American public is awake, or at what level of awakeness they are. You know, and just between the three of you, you know, you guys all have different levels. I mean, you're all suspicious, right? But then there's Tony, who is right dead on, you know, knowing exactly where to go for the news. Then we've got Penny, that's a little bit in the middle, sort of on the right side with Tony. And then we've got Tom way over in the left. No. Okay. No, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
but my point is, across the board, guys, is that, you know, the main issue and the main goal that we all have, whether it be the listeners, whether you guys stepping up the plate and making this movie, are to wake up. This is the only shot we got. We've got to wake people up, and you guys have done a good job of doing that. So I'm going to take another clip here. I don't know which one it is, so we're just going to play surprise here, Tom. Okay, and then, yes, we're going to do a grab bag, and then you're going to comment on it. Let's see, this is a minute clip. Does minute 3 seconds, does that tell you anything, Tom?
Not really.
Okay. All right, here we go.
...a system and build something fundamentally different in its place.
It's like the whole country's on a bus. The crazy driver. We're careening down a mountain road. If the passengers can't get hold of the wheel, we're all going to go over the cliff.
Even if you could throw the driver off the bus, what makes you so sure it'll be us? Just look at all the crazy groups that we're in a mixed-up alliance with. Muslim fundamentalists, Marxists, neo-Nazis, anarchists, Christian soldiers.
The enemy of my enemy is my ally. It's going to take all the disaffected to tear the system down.
All right. Well, that one was the on the bus with a crazy driver, Tom.
That's the one we were talking about a little earlier.
Right. That's you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think more and more people are feeling like this country does have a crazy driver at the wheel. When I first wrote this for Uncivil Liberties, I was thinking more. Like generally, and maybe in the future, there would be a leadership that seemed like was going to drive the bus off the cliff. But you know, it sort of has come true, and I think we are on a bus with a crazy driver, and we have the dilemma of if we throw the driver off the bus, who's going to grab hold of the wheel?
All right, let me stop you. Let's take a break. We'll continue that. After the break, Michael Herzog of the American Awakening will be back in 3.
stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Back, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Tom Mercer, the writer, co-producer, and director of Uncivil Liberties, along with Tony Grocki, who has a very, very good role in the movie as Sam, and also Penny Perkins, who is the lead actress in the movie, playing as Cynthia. Now, I wanted to comment, we had just played a clip before the break, on the bus with the crazy driver, and the crazy driver basically is all the different factions of the movement out there, and my vote would be to put Tony in the driver's seat because he knows where to get his news. We'll put Penny right behind him because she's really close, and then we'll put Tom in the back of the bus, right? There. No, but anyway, I'm just, I know I'm kidding.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Yeah, but anyway, okay, so we're on the bus with a crazy driver. Really, the bus itself is the powers that be that are just, you know, making chaos out of this entire planet, if you will. Tom?
That's right. That's what the metaphor is, that the drivers are the leaders, not only of this country, but the world leaders, and the ones we know about and the shadowy ones that we don't know about, too, are all implied there. And it's then... You have the problem of how do you wrest control? How do the passengers on the bus get control of the bus without maybe making matters worse? I don't have an answer for that. I raise it as a question for discussion.
Well, and that's a tough one. Tony, have you got any ideas?
It is a tough one. You can find out a lot of bad stuff and you can get disheartened because it seems sometimes like it's already gone too far, you know? It's scary because everybody's sitting at home watching, you know, American Idol and things are happening in the government, but he's really keeping an eye on. So is there any chance to get back control of the bus? I mean, maybe right now this is it, you know, before this... Who knows what's going to happen in the current election, if there's going to even be one. Is martial law going to be declared before the election even gets to start? And would they cancel an election under martial law? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not ready to give up power, and you know, it could be just too late.
And for those of us who have read the PNAC documents and Rebuilding America's Defenses, we know that that's a distinct possibility with these people. Penny, any comments from your point of view?
Well, I want to be a pessimist and an optimist at the same time, you know, so I think, you know, given the reality of the structure of wealth and power, you know, again, not just nationally, but globally, that it seems like our window of opportunity to responding, you know, to this it seems to be narrowing very quickly. On the other hand, there are also all kinds of movements, you know, that, again, don't have as much power, but they do seem to have some sort of more widespread appeal, and I think that sometimes these crazy drivers of the bus, they push things too far, and even though people are very complacent and, you know, hooked into their cable systems and really just kind of watching that off, I think people also, you know, get to the point where they say enough is enough. I mean, revolutions do happen. So I never want to say that we're past the point, but, you know, if in order for things to change, there has to be massive, massive redistribution of wealth. I mean, you know, the way wealth and power is concentrated in just a small percentage of hands is just, you know, bad, bad, bad for, you know, most of the billions of people on the planet.
Right, and this, I'm sorry, was somebody else going to say something?
I was going to add that the one ray of hope I see is that information is now more widely available than it was before the advent of the Internet. And there are programs like yours, Michael, and there are websites like the one Tony gets his news from and then filters it and tells me about it, so that people really can become more aware than they used to be. They can't be controlled as much as long as we have free access to information.
Well, that's true, and as my listeners all know, you know, I don't have a life, you guys, outside of this. So I do a lot of research on the internet, and I watch a lot of, you know, Tony had asked me a little while ago about my thoughts regarding the movie in this format as opposed to documentary, and I go online. I watch a number of different. I can't even count how many video documentaries I've watched going down the, you know, the investigatorial task or on, you know, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and just everybody, and you know, on the Federal Reserve System, and I commend everybody who puts forth the effort, all three of you guys included. When the information is there, the internet is the last bastion, if you will, of real news. Video clips of you know, G. Edward Griffin and Edwin Vieira came out with a new one just probably not more than a month ago about the. And the Federal Reserve and how it works and how they're taking advantage of us and they're, you know, using us with the fiat currency system. And I think what it is, when I was talking about an elevation of consciousness, guys, it's a culmination of all of that. You take that, you know, they're all a piece of the puzzle. You take a snippet here and you take a snippet there with uncivil liberties and you kind of put it all together and you put it in the context. And then maybe, just maybe, there's a light bulb that's going to go off, because we're all sitting here talking and speculating about, well, we don't have the answer to this or that. Well, maybe once the puzzle gets together to the point where we can actually visualize what the real picture is, maybe the light bulb will go off and say, hey, wait a minute, here's the answer. You know, you never know.
And I think
it's out there now if people wanted to find it. You know what I mean? The problem is getting them to even be interested in finding all this stuff out, because it's there. That's how I found out about it. I mean, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Penny, were you going to say something?
I was going to say two things. I think, you know, as, you know, the powers that be push the envelope more, and I think, you know, more and more sort of everyday average people get, you know, enraged and incensed about what's happening, I think that helps the light bulb go off. And also just... to connect it, you know, quickly to a video I watched on YouTube today about the tigers, the lions who steal the little buffalo calf from the herd. And so those, you know, represent the powers that be with, you know, all of the strength and the power. And the herd came back. You know, the three or four buffaloes that, you know, lost the calf in the first place, they went back and got the rest of the herd. And the rest of the herd was able to intimidate the powers that be to get the calf
right
back.
All right, we got to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Okay? All right. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898.
Of the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Come a little bit closer and hear what Penny Perkins has to say. But before that, I want to mention to you folks, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you happen to have a question or comment for any of my guests, Tom Mercer, Tony Grocki, or Penny Perkins, who are all affiliated with the new DVD, Uncivil Liberties, and you can go in and you can go into the website at uncivilliberties.com. Take a look at it. Take a look at the website. Look at the trailer of the movie. You can purchase the movie through Amazon.com, and I'm sure that there are other places on the website that they will direct you to with which you can buy the movie. Now, we were talking about the herd being intimidated by the powers that be. So you want to continue with that thought, Penny?
Yeah, I was just referencing the video. I think it's called The Battle at Kruger. That I saw on YouTube. But basically, the lions steal a calf away from the herd, or away from three or four water buffalo. Those water buffalo leave, and the lions start to feast on the calf. And a few minutes later, they come back, like 40 or 50 strong. And the water buffalo, though they don't have the power and the claws, you know, and the fangs of the lions, they are able, by their numbers, the strength of numbers, to intimidate the lions and basically to save the calf and, you know, get the lions to go away, and they recapture the calf. So I just thought it was a great metaphor for, again, you know, we may not have the money or the media access or the connection to power that, you know, the people who are driving the bus do. But as long as we have the numbers, if it's millions and billions against, you know, thousands, you know, that will always win.
Oh, and I agree with you, and that is the one thing, and I know Tony will agree with me, not sure about Tom, but Tony, that's the one thing that the powers that be, the elite, the oligarchs, the New World Order, whichever, whatever name tag you want to put on them, that's the one thing that they fear most, is that the mass populace awakening to their draconian agenda. That's what they fear more than anything else.
And now, working together as one.
Right. So, and there's a couple of really, really good scenes in this movie that bring that out. You know, about the different groups and bringing them together, because I know that we're realizing this within the movement. Now, there's one more clip here that I want to play, and I know which one it is because it's the process of elimination, and they're all gone except for this one. So, but it's a great way to end these clips, because it's Mike admonishing that before you kill one another, you need to look him in the eye. And it's real easy. It's almost a byproduct. It's like, you know, as long as they don't know, as long as they're not physically or emotionally connected with this carnage, that it's not a big deal. But if you're looking somebody in the eye, just like that sniper was looking somebody in the eye, it's a whole different set of circumstances. So let's go ahead and play this clip.
Can I set this up a little bit, one little bit?
No. Go ahead, Tony. I thought I did a good job. No, go ahead.
To really paint the visual picture, I think you can tell the audience that one person is in a half-dug grave, and the other character has a gun on him, and he's making him dig his own grave. That's all I wanted to say.
Very good. Very good. I'm glad you inserted that, Tony. All right, here we go. I'm going to play this clip.
What happened, Mike?
Lieutenant Mitchell spotted the target, Cynthia Porter. We established radio contact with Dr. Leahy, who was our street-level tracker. He reported the target was following her usual morning routine. I had her in my scope.
That isn't it, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I just realized that.
That's definitely
okay.
What we already heard.
That's the one we already heard. So what I'm going to have to, and I really do want to play that clip, so I'm going to have to go back here and try to figure out which one it is that I missed.
Okay.
Which isn't going to be easy. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, because it takes, in order to do it, in order to take what time it takes to set it up, we would probably run out of time before I ran into the right one. So
okay,
what I'm going to do, I was going to say, why don't you describe it for us, Tony? You did a real good job of that, so just walk us through it, okay?
Well, Mike got castigated, and I was sent out to take care of the execution. So, anyway, I've got a gun pointed at his head, and I'm supposed to kill him, and I keep telling him to turn around because I wanted to shoot him in the back. I didn't want to look at his face when I shot him. And so he wouldn't turn around, and he got right in my face, and he really made me realize that, you know, you got to look people in the eye when you kill them if you're going to kill them. And that'll make you realize that they're people, and maybe you won't want to kill them once you do that. And that's what he does to me. He makes me look them in the eye, and I couldn't kill him. And from that point on in the movie, I'm certainly a disciple of his newfound morality. And I'm an instant disciple of it. And that's what happens in that scene. He convinces me to put the gun down, not to shoot him, and in fact to join him. And that's what we set off to do.
And there is a surprise ending to that scene. The point is made, and yet the plot turns in a dramatic way at the conclusion of that scene. So folks will definitely want to take a look at the movie and see how that all works together.
Absolutely.
Right, and I was going to say, in my limited tenure as an actor, I could tell in that particular scene you were into character there, Tony, and there was an emotional sense that caught you just by doing that scene.
Well, you know, part of it, I know it might sound obvious, but part of the whole thing that really helped was being there. You know, we actually dug a hole. He was in the hole. He had a shovel, and as we played out the scene, he's shoveling dirt off to the side. I mean, he's digging his own grave. We were in the Army uniforms. We had, you know, stage pistol. I had a stage pistol. It's all very dramatic, you know, and it really helped as an actor for me to get into the role because, you know, it was all there for me. We were in a real barn. You know, it wasn't on some set or anything. We were in a barn, and we dug a hole that actually he stood in, and it was there. It was dirty. It was gritty, and it felt really helpful as an actor to have all those, you know, the accoutrements of the scene really helped the scene.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, how many takes did you do, Tony?
We did a lot of different angles. So the whole point, you know, up until the physical, there was a fight that happened in that scene, which is a different set of rules than a fight. But up until that with the dialogue, you know, you do a medium shot, a couple of takes, looking at one guy, a couple of takes at the other, and you might move in for a medium close-up, a couple of takes, you know, of one side and then the other, and there's a couple of master shots, maybe five or six takes. So you do it just to cover the scene, you end up doing it a lot without really overdoing it. That's sort of normal to do it that many times.
Here's kind of
that would be in that case about 12 times.
I'd mm-hmm. say so. That was a nighttime shoot, and it was done in the summertime when the nights are shorter, of course. And we began at sundown, actually began setting up a little before the sun went down, and we were finishing up all the angles we needed on that scene as the sun was coming back up in the morning and the birds were starting to chirp. So it was a several-hour block of time to get that done on an all-nighter.
Yeah, that was an intense shoot that night.
So tell me, when Tom finished the last scene in the movie, I don't know, you know, when everybody or when whoever it was, and I would assume it's Tom, said, okay, it's a wrap. It's done. Did you guys throw a party? Did you all get together and celebrate, or what happened?
We did have a party. It was after the, not so much when we wrapped the last scene that we filmed. We had a party when the DVD was finished, so it was more like a DVD party. We screened it for everybody who was involved, cast and crew, which was a very large number of people, and then had a champagne party afterwards. The last scene that was ever filmed was the very first scene in the movie, very first thing you see in the radio talk show host in her studio was the very last thing we actually shot.
Now, have any of these actors did you pretty much handpick these people, Tom, or did you cast all of them? Was there's a lot of tryouts, or how'd that work?
Well, I had I held auditions. I advertised for the parts and held auditions and selected that way. But they were really handpicked. I invited people to audition who I thought would be good in the roles. The two characters that you have on the phone today, on the radio show today, were really handpicked, and I had them in mind for the part, especially Penny, I had in mind for the Cynthia character, and the character is even somewhat modeled after certain aspects of Penny's personality. The Norton character, I could have gone different directions with, but when Tony tried out for it and we really did some test footage with him, he he revealed the character the way I wanted it revealed. So that's kind of how we ended up with the cast we did.
You know, and what Tom means by...
Tom, I thought it was the $200 I gave you.
Go ahead, Penny.
I was going to say, what Tom means is that I share certain characteristics of Cynthia. That's his polite way of saying that I'm a really, really geeky computer girl. And that it wouldn't, you know, it's not much of a stretch to see me as, you know, like a geeky computer drone at an office.
Well, I was going to say you made an excellent government worker. How's
exactly.
that? Yeah, so yeah, we all know where that's going. But, you know, hey, that was the part. I mean, you know how when you go to – and I was a Ford Robert Black agency, and they have these things, you know, that they tell you what you're good in. You know, they'll put down that you're good in this and you're good in that. He'd be a good cop, or he'd be a good, you know, military guy or whatever. Oh. So they kind of pigeonhole you,
right.
You know, with the different things that they call you out on an audition for. Mm-hmm. And that's just what we do. I mean, you know – there are certain things that they told me I'd be good at and certain things that I wasn't good at. So that just kind of goes along with the territory. But I wanted to ask you guys all – now, of all of these people, as I look through – and, of course, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking, is there anybody in here that I've seen anywhere before? And
no.
No. Well, and the reason I ask is because there was one guy in that movie that I looked at and I said, have I seen that guy before? And maybe it's, you know, maybe it wasn't on screen. I don't know.
No, actually, but I forgot – no, there is a soap opera star in the movie. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Commander Swift, one of the leaders of the militia group, the actor's name is Tom Mann, was a prominent soap opera actor from New York City for many years during the 80s, I think. Kind of retired from that part. And I've forgotten which one. It was one of the famous soaps. But I don't follow them, so I don't remember.
Now, is that the guy with the gray hair that came in and asked for the scotch?
Yes.
That's what I thought, because I was going to mention him, and then I was going – because, you know, back in the 80s, I used to watch soap operas. I was a club – no. But, well, I mean, I had seen – you know how you – I'm trying to downplay this. You know how you kind of channel surf it sometimes.
Exactly. But I think he's had supporting roles in other TV shows and so on. So his face has been around it.
Yeah,
and
his face was familiar. Go ahead.
The actress who plays Cynthia's sister, Pat, also had a stint on one of the soaps for a while.
What about the guy that was Cynthia's boss, the black fella?
Eric, yes. Kevin's been in a lot of stuff. Absolutely.
I was going to say, because he looked really familiar. Matter of fact, he looked the most familiar to me that anybody did. And, you know, you make the circuit where you know, you go, like, you have actors that come in from all over that are going to do a scene or do a set, and you see him, you meet him, and you never see him again. Mm-hmm. And it could have been that I ran across him somewhere at some point in time or whatever.
He's a full-time actor. He makes his living as an actor. He's got really quite a long credit of independent films and stage been on the stage a lot in New York City and around. So he's we're actually, I consider myself very fortunate to have had him as part of the cast. He's really busy and actor in much demand.
I mean, he has his SAG card. I mean, he's professional all the way.
Yeah.
I can't commend you enough for what you've done here, because I salute you, Tom, for doing what you've done, because it's people like you, you know, with the dedication, the commitment, the talent that you have to add to it. And as I progress through this, I've only been, believe it or not, 2 years ago, I was another mind-numb, dumbed-down, you know, Fox News-watching American, and didn't have any idea I'd
be
doing
this. That's hard to believe, only 2 years ago?
Actually, yes, it was, I mean, there was, you know, 9/11 happened, and I was, didn't think too much of it. I watched it on TV, and I said, oh, that's terrible, or whatever, but I didn't put two and two together, because I was busy with other things, mm-hmm. you know. And then a couple years later, I happened to catch Loose Change on, it was around Thanksgiving in 2004, I think. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I said, yeah, that's weird. And then I got, you know, everybody in the family, I come in, here, watch this, and they all said, yeah, you're nuts. So I said, okay, and I didn't say anything for a while, right? But then I started looking into it a little bit further. And I really came to an epiphany one day when I was sitting on my couch watching the nightly news, And the highlight of the news was like Bertha's dog getting caught in the sewer in the rescue.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, you know, there's something really wrong going on here. There's got to be more in the world going on than this. So that's when I really, you know, I put forth my investigative talents and so forth, and I started really uncovering what was going on. And what happened then was that I was overcome with it. Like you, Tony, I was in Prison Planet every day, you know, and I was listening to Jones every day. And I was listening to Statmiller all the time. And once you get a complete realization of how bad it really is, you know, it takes you about 2 months to crawl out from under the bed. And that's where I was really paranoid. And I actually went to a gun show and bought bulletproof vests and gas masks and the whole nine yards. That was Statmiller's fault, you know. But at any rate, you know, you come out of this, and then there's this gut-churning thing. Say, well, all right, now I've got all this information. What do I do with it? And so you can't just sit on the couch and do nothing, you know, because your spirit won't let you. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with the final closing thoughts from my three guests here. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you right live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'd like to find out how Benny and Tony woke up. I know Tom's still sleeping. Be back in 3 minutes.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Final segment coming up here. And before I go any further, folks, Tom Mercer, Tony Grocki, Penny Perkins, I want to tell all three of you, especially you, Tom, because you've kind of You've kind of humored me, and I've kind of given you the brunt of my jokes here. It's been an absolute pleasure having you guys on today. I really had a marvelous time, and I want all the listeners out there to go into the website, uncivilliberties.com, take a look at it, take a look at the trailer, and buy a copy of this DVD. I was impressed with it, and I'm sure you will be too. Tom, any closing thoughts, sir?
Hey, you know, thanks, and I'm very good humored about that. It was nice to have me be the foil against Tony and Penny. And it's true. I'm probably a little more middle of the road. I can see the story on, but yet I intuited this story unfolding before events really did. So I must have some kind of attunement to the truth. Someplace.
That's right. That means there's hope. There's hope for you, Tom. See?
Right.
Penny, real quick, Penny. Your awakening just came through reading alternative journalism and writing and so forth?
Probably. I mean, I also was lucky enough to be born into several outsider groups. You know, I'm a woman. I was born to, you know, working class parents. I grew up in the Midwest, and I've always sort of had a natural curiosity of the philosopher. Why?
Okay.
So, you know, I think I had a predilection to question things from a young age.
And, Tony, we know your story. You and I are pretty much along the same lines here. But at any rate, I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled that you guys all came together. And I'm sure a lot of the other members of the cast feel the same way, or at least they're starting to open their eyes. And I'm sure that, you know, even if they didn't or if they had little knowledge, probably by the time they got through, they were a lot wider awake than they were when they started. Am I right there, Tom?
Absolutely. If they weren't wide awake when they got in, they were by the time they got out.
And that's what we need. I mean, how many people worked on that? Probably, I would say there was, 40 maybe? 50?
Oh, I think when you consider all the extras that we had involved, it'd be more like 100.
Okay, yeah.
Between 40 and 50 core.
Well, again, you know, I want to commend you guys for your efforts. I want you to put out your website one more time so they can all go in there, Tom. You give it out.
UncivilLiberties.com, the title of the movie, Uncivil Liberties, and just put it in as a URL.
Okay.
And, Michael, Penny, thank you for your support and your enthusiasm. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm telling you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart emphatically, because I do know what it takes to be an actor, because I'm not one. I try. No, I'm just kidding. I'm okay. You both did a fantastic job. And I was watching, you know, as an actor myself and knowing what goes on behind the scenes, I watch things other than what normal people watch. And you guys did an excellent job. I honestly commend you for that. I mean that emphatically. Tom, you did a very good job on this film. For your first time making a film, I was very impressed, because I was comparing it to this film that I was in, Secret Messages, you know, looking at the plot and how it followed and the editing and so forth. And you did a fantastic job on that, sir.
We tried to put as much on the screen as we possibly could.
Oh, and you did a good job. And again, you know, as I tell all the listeners out there, you know, it's not Titanic or it's not Braveheart, but understand this. That this gentleman has put forth the effort, the time, his professionalism. He has made an excellent movie, well worth buying, well worth watching, and well worth sharing with your friends and neighbors. Thank you again so much for coming on, guys. Have a good one, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, The End of Another Day. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. John Stadtmiller's still on vacation. Not sure who's taking his place, but I'm sure they'll be good. So I will see you tomorrow. Bye. And I'll keep